Here we go, John's Taylor podcast. Keep sharing. This last couple of weeks has absolutely been phenomenal. You know, we've had people on from different parts of the world talking about their journeys, success stories, who's inspired them. And next on the show, which I'm delighted to welcome, who I've met through a golfing network of Four Business, one of the biggest golfing networks. You know, he's down south. I'm in Newcastle, up north of England. And we just met virtually. We've had a couple of conversations. So I'd like to welcome onto the show James Elwood, and he's the co-founder of NFL Weekends. Welcome onto the show, James.
Hi, John. Thank you very much.
Yeah, so we sort of like met each other, had a couple of conversations, fired a couple of emails backwards and forwards, and we're now part of, you know, this golfing network. Well, I wanted to get you on just to find out a little bit about your story and why you do what you do, really. So if you wanted to explain to the viewers how you got into sort of like doing this NFL weekends and what does that actually look like from your point of view?
Yeah, absolutely. So I've got a background in working in travel, in the travel industry. I've always wanted to have a bit of a pipe dream of working for myself, but that's never quite as easy as you may think. A couple of years ago, I had a conversation walking around the boundary with a close friend of mine on a cricket field or around the boundary during a match, and we sort of chatted about the idea of NFL weekends, and it does what it says on the tin. We take groups of people over from Britain to the States for a long weekend, basically. To take in a city, have good experiences, meet new people, and obviously with the main event being the Sunday. And then we did our market research, and we launched the business last October, so October 2019, and I went full time in January. It's all very, very exciting. It sort of combines my passion of sport, passion of playing sport, passion of watching sport, passion of travel, really. And we think, we're pretty convinced that there's a big interest for it in this country.
So NFL, my experience of NFL is through my dad. He was absolutely avid 49ers fan. Joe Montana, that's the names that I remember growing up as a kid. He used to sit me down, son, watch this. He's big into baseball as well, and I think he's a little bit like yourself. He loves cricket, absolutely loves cricket, loves rugby. Golf is his thing, but NFL, he used to sit in front of the TV and absolutely get me at, you know, 2-3 o'clock in the morning. I remember still being up watching the Super Bowl final in January, you know, as a young kid. I don't know much about the sport, but in the UK, how popular is it becoming?
It's interesting you allude to that, because I guess you're talking, what, in the 80s, are you?
Late 80s, I suppose, yeah.
That was on, the NFL was televised on terrestrial TV. Here in the UK, you've got the likes of, you mentioned, you know, Joe Montana and Dan Marino and all that kind of thing. And it was popular in this country just purely for that reason. It then went off terrestrial TV, so therefore naturally dropped off a bit of a cliff here in this country. But back in 2007, the NFL in the States made a conscious decision to try and make it popular again abroad, and the UK was certainly the main target country they went for. So they brought a game over, an NFL game, over to London. And then that was obviously mainly a marketing ploy to grow their brand. Fast forward to 2020, and they have four games a year here. Now got two at Wembley, two in Tottenham, two at the new Tottenham Stadium. The tickets sell out, you know, in half an hour, you know, for these 60,000-80,000 seater stadiums. There's 12 million people in this country follow the sport. 4 million of those people say that they follow a team. There's over 70 American football teams in the country. And the interest of it is huge. There's obviously it's on Sky. There's a great Red Zone program on Sky, which if you're not Sky Sports, which if you're not totally au fait with all the rules, and all the players, which is pretty complex.
Yeah.
They're very, very good at explaining it to the slightly less educated, which I think has been a huge help in getting the sport and growing the sport. The BBC also do a weekly show headed by Mark Chapman, who does an amazing job again of just making the sport understandable and almost a bit accessible. So all of those things combined, the sport has taken off in this country and is only going in one direction.
It sounds the Mark Chapman stuff. I've tuned into that a couple of times before because I love sport as well, and that's driven from my dad. And even any sport really, I can find myself watching. You know, I've sat and watched curling before when it's been on the TV, or it doesn't matter what it is. I think it's that competitiveness in us that we enjoy just engaging in something where two people or a team are competing against each other. Or in golf, you know, you've got that individual element and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So NFL is a massive machine, isn't it? You know, the size of the team in itself, because I do know that you've got the offense, defense, and they're constantly changing players, and it's backwards and forwards. So it's really hard and technical probably to keep up with what's happening. So it is an infrastructure, a massive setup just to run a team sport, I suppose, in the NFL. And like you said, it's getting popular in the UK. It is really starting to grow now. So you're now doing these NFL weekends, taking people. What is a traditional, I suppose, a few days away with you look like then in these weekends?
So it will look like a flight out on the Friday morning, as early as you can, probably 8-9 o'clock a.m. out of London, and we'll therefore get to the destination about lunchtime. We're going to start off by concentrating on the east side of the states purely for flight time purposes, so Boston, Miami, and New York. So say for example, we go to New York, we'll get there at lunchtime, have a bit of a free afternoon. Obviously plenty to do. Our hotel that we're working with is just off Times Square, so right in the middle of Manhattan. We'll then meet back up in the evening for a bit of a welcome drinks, welcome reception, say hello, that type of thing. Saturday again is free, so for example, we might get a couple and they might want to go to all the, I hate to stereotype too much, but they may want to go down Fifth Avenue and do a bit of shopping, or go to Broadway, see a show, do the touristy bits, that kind of thing. Or you might get a group of lads who might be more interested in doing other things, or there's obviously plenty of other sport going on in New York, so you might want to go and, you know, see an ice hockey game or something along those lines. So and then on the Sunday, which is the main event, obviously, we'll go for a 1 o'clock kickoff. We'll go to a tailgate party before a game. A tailgate party is a very traditional American way of I say celebrating because it's before the game, but you're almost celebrating the occasion.
Yeah.
They cook up some proper barbecue food out the back of their trailers. They're real fans. You can get, you know, you can tailgate out the back of your car with, you know, three of your family members, or you get people that have converted these huge trucks and there's 300 people eating and drinking and having a nice time, just soaking in the atmosphere the way that Americans can do and us Brits probably don't do quite so well. So that's a huge part of what we're doing. So we've got access to different tailgate parties. We'll then go into the stadium, watch the game, obviously, soak it all in. I don't want to spoil the surprise too much, but there may well be some additional extras thrown in for the game day experiences. And then, yeah, we'll fly home Monday, essentially. So it is what it is at this stage, just a weekend. It's the beauty of it. And the trick is not to waste a moment and make some pretty cool memories.
Well, it sounds absolutely phenomenal, the package. Just I'm visualizing, you know, just being in these parties and being immersed in the sport and arena of, because some of the stadiums out there are just absolutely massive, yeah, as well, aren't they? I've noticed that, and they're just, you know, rammed with this energy of this fun that, like you said, the build up before the game. I'm a big Newcastle United fan. The city comes alive before the game, you know, and I can imagine that's what it's like. I remember when I flew to Orlando for the PGA merchandise show, and I flew into Philadelphia, and it was the semi-final of the Super Bowl at Philadelphia. And I remember going over the stadium, you could see it was all set up, and I had to transfer my flight from Philadelphia down to Florida. But you could see the wall in the green and the wall set up, and it was all, even just in the airport, it was just absolute crazy, you know, it was brilliant.
Yeah.
And I sensed that atmosphere then. So that
they put on one hell of a show. They really do. The NFL game itself will probably go on for 3.5 hours. And obviously the majority of that is not actually playing time. But it's the best way of describing it. It's a really cool concert with a really cool show with some football in between.
Yeah.
So it's a lot of fun, and obviously you got that will do all the stuff around it. So it's an all day event really. Whereas in this country, we certainly just if we're going to a football match here or whatever, we'll turn up 20 minutes before the start, sit in our seat, go for a bathroom break and a beer at halftime, and sit back down. And in America, it's in the States and certainly in the NFL, it's very much you kind of roaming around a little bit. It's much more social, and it's just a really cool experience that. Yeah, it's hard to sort of describe it really unless you've done it.
Yeah, even if you're not an NFL fan, but just to experience the whole package about what you're talking about, you know, people are looking for experiences like this completely out of the norm as well. And I think that really fits nicely in with what you're talking about with your business model and what you're doing.
100%, 100%.
So before you got into sort of like this NFL weekend stuff, what were you doing before that?
So, to give you a very quick whistle stop tour of the last 10 years of my life, that I my first job out of school, really, when I was 19 to about 22, 23, worked in Harrods in London, up into central London. Any golf fans listening to this, I represented the brand J. Lindeberg, basically sold very expensive golf apparel to people. Basically. Yeah. And after that, I spent a year or two in New Zealand and Australia playing a bit of cricket, having back-to-back summers, basically having a nice time while I could. And then since then, I've worked for two different travel companies, which takes me to sort of where I am now. But the experience working for travel companies really does set me in great stead for this, for not obvious reasons, knowing all the tricks of the trade and knowing how the industry works and all that kind of thing is vital. But even more than that, I look back at my time in Harrods that's more influential. I went into Harrods, a 19-year-old kid from a market town in Oxfordshire, and I got thrust onto the shop floor with, you know, millionaires coming at me. And in Harrods, they basically very strict, essentially. Very, very strict in how you look, how you behave, timekeeping, absolutely everything. And obviously, and on top of that, they have very strict sales targets per week and per month, etc. I was on a 3-month probation. First month, I sort of wasn't really ready for it, to be honest. My sales weren't particularly good. I struggled with various aspects of it. And I was staring down the barrel of having told all my family and friends, got this amazing new job, and staring down the barrel of heading back up the M40 with the tails between my legs, which I wasn't particularly looking forward to. But what I did was, when a customer used to come into the store, I used to try and sell them the most expensive polo top, the most expensive waterproof gear, whatever it may be, purely because I thought that was the obvious way of doing things. And these people have money, but rich people aren't stupid on the whole. Yeah. And that tactic didn't really work. I then spoke to a lad that had been there for a long time, and he said to me something that sticks in my mind to this day. He said that once the customer has come in, you've got one goal, and that is for the customer to leave happy, to leave it as though he's had a brilliant experience and that he has got more than. No, he has had exceptional customer service. And if that means he's bought a belt for £59, so be it. So just have that in your mind at all times. And if you achieve that goal every single time you speak to a customer, he said, I promise you, you will hit your sales target. So I thought, fine, I'll trust this guy. Fast forward a few weeks, and my sales were improving, but they still weren't quite getting up to where they needed to be, basically in order for me to keep my job after the 3 months. Going back to the £59 belt analogy, I remember selling a bloke a belt for £59, thinking, what a disappointment. You know, I was hoping to get a huge sale out of that guy. That same guy came back, asked for me about 2 weeks prior of my 3 month probation, and said, asked for my name, said, James, you did such a brilliant job last time. You were so friendly and helpful. You pointed me in the direction of where I wanted to go next. We had a great chat. And now I'm in the market for this, that, and the other. And, you know, 2 hours later, he dropped £3,000. And I basically kept my job, to be honest. And then over the course of the ensuing months and years, I held that mentality of just making sure that customer is happy and forget about trying to upsell them and this, that, and the other. So it was people would come back to me. I would basically have appointments of people who were looking to speak to me. And it was almost some days I'd buy appointment back to back. Some days obviously I didn't, but the story goes that if you have that mentality of just leaving your customer happy, and you'll get recommended, you'll get word of mouth, he'll come back, and your business will grow in a very sort of ethical manner, really. And that's something that I've been really passionate about ever since. And that's something I really want to bring into NFL Weekends. That idea of, right, great, obviously you're going to pay to come on this trip, and you'll pay a fair price, hopefully, and get great value for money. But the main objective is to offer you an exceptional customer service. And you'll be driving home away from the airport on that Monday, just thinking, wow, what an incredible time, and what a wonderful trip that was, and what memories were made. So that's the link that I really want to be able to give into this business, and that's what I'm excited about.
If you think about what you just said there, one of the things that we talk about on this show is who's inspired you as an individual to become. And just even from that one memory of that one liner about people leaving happy, from the impact that you've been able to do, change your whole perspective, attitude, and behavior towards the thing you were doing at the time. And at the same time, being nervous of the fact is that it might not even last the 3 months, and you were at the coal face. Even that simple one line of the appreciation and understanding of that, you can now feel that you were going to be giving people the experience just by talking about what they're going to get from 4 days in America, or 3 or 4 days in America, in a land of opportunity. And we spoke a little bit before the show a couple of times, and you've been out there and done your research, and you've looked at this is what people are going to be getting. So you've put yourself out there to do that. So being inspired just by one person is what I'm picking up from you there. And it's changed your whole ethos in terms of now what you do because of that moment. That's a really nice story to share with us. And I really appreciate you doing that, because it's just making me remember the things that people say to me along the way as well. A guy I'm working with in California, and you know, he's doing a lot in the golfing industry and trying to raise the game. I remember the words he said to me, John, what you learn now will serve you well. He was sending me plans of these, you know, the stats of golfing in America and all over the world, and why people play and why they don't play and why they leave. And he was all about, like you, giving people an experience and an opportunity to walk away with a smile on their face.
100%. And I think if we go on that ethos that I talked about just having the one goal of people walking away happy and pleased and excited and with memories. I think that twinned with the very unique offering that we've got a pretty cool product, I think. I think you touched on, I've been going back and forth from the States around the last 4 or 5 months designing it, if that makes sense. So making relationships with the hotel brand we're going to work with, you know, same with the NFL franchises who have been wonderful, even down to every detail, the transfer companies, the place where we're going to host the dinners. Everything's sort of been designed and locked in. And those relationships have been made in person directly, which I think is so important. It's the best way of building relationships, which is why I was so, you know, we were so intent on actually getting on a plane and going out and seeing these people as opposed to, you know, emailing and calling and that kind of thing. There's no substitute for that.
What I would love to do then, James, is once we're out of this situation, we call it, and you know, I'm staying away from the words crisis, lockdown, you know, it's too heavy, stay at home mode, which will pass, you know, and we will recover.
Yeah,
it'd be interesting to potentially get one of your, I suppose, customers and interview them, or not interview them, just have a conversation with them on the show about sharing what it was from their angle as well. That'd be great, you know.
Yeah,
up for that, and just hopefully, you know, September time, that is that, I don't know when is the NFL season?
Yeah, so that's a whole other story. So we try, the season starts in September and they are still planning on going. Where are we now? 21st of April. The season starts in September. The regular season goes through to the end of December. And then they have a month of playoffs culminating in the Super Bowl at the beginning of February. So they are planning on still going ahead with all of that. They are planning on that. We will not be able to do the volume of trips that we hoped to do, essentially, but for lots of reasons, you know, travel restrictions and people not wanting to purchase any travel for a good few weeks or months. COVID-19 is a bump in the road, should we say? That's the best way of putting it. But we'll make it work. And yeah, it is what it is. If you can start a sports travel company 4 months before all sports and all travel gets banned, and you can still make it work, then any problems that arise in the future will be very small in comparison.
And it's your first venture, isn't it, as a entrepreneur, as a developer, as a person getting out there.
They say that you'll get problems thrown at you left. I guess you don't quite expect.
If you've been running a machine for, I don't know, 20 years and you've got 1,000 employees and this hits you, it's like, boom. I think everybody's affected at some level. But what, you know, are you finding this, I suppose, soak period, this time? What are you doing, you know?
It's a tough one because everything's so uncertain. I'm just trying to, I've spent the last, you know, few months almost building awareness of the brand. Obviously, we haven't had any product as such to sell or to, you know, we haven't got any past trips, obviously, to talk about. So I'm just trying to stay relevant, to be quite honest, on social media and that kind of thing. And just trying to say, don't forget about us. We will make this happen, but for obvious reasons, not quite yet. Trying to just set up all the back end stuff, so the documents that clients will get when they travel and all that kind of thing, just getting all the ducks in a row and just staying in touch with all the suppliers and you know, maintaining the relationships that I've already built. There's not a lot more I can do, to be honest. Just sitting tight, hoping for the best, and there are more important things to worry about.
Well, with the ethos that you've got, the business model that you've done, the experience of travel, you know, you're in good stead to make this work, and I wish you every success with it. You know, I will do what I can to keep sharing the word about when trips are coming up and you want to get out there. I'm sure that my dad will be absolutely jumping all over this with the NFL head that he's got and how much he loves that sport. But yeah, I look forward to continue building our relationship like we did before this interview and afterwards. But best of luck with it all. If there's anything else that you want to get across, then, you know, by all means, share it. And then it's going to be amazing what you're doing, and it sounds absolutely phenomenal. So
thank you very much. And I didn't want to just, you know, hopefully I haven't just used this opportunity to plug the business. That wasn't really why I wanted to necessarily come on, but it was hopefully just to share a bit of the I've got a passion for doing business in the right way, in a transparent way, and an ethical way, and I'm convinced you can be successful by doing that. An inspiration is my, you know, an inspiration of my past is like that chap who just said that one liner to me back in God knows how many years ago, 12 years ago, that has helped me so much. But my sporting hero is Alistair Cook. Alistair Cook, he's longevity, 161 test matches in a row is just ridiculous. the two things that I resonate with, that really stick out with me when I talk and think about Alistair Cook is work ethic and humility. Those are the two things that he has in abundance. And he's the most successful English test batsman of all time. So to me, that tells me that you can really stick close to your values, you know, be a bigger bloke and be, you know, and go far. So that was sort of just, that's why I'm really keen to stick to and get across.
Thank you for sharing them.
Appreciate the time. Thank you.
Yeah. Without even being a big, huge cricket fan, just that sports, criteria of what he's achieved in the game, you know, is you've got to push yourself through to be able to do that. And it takes a little bit more than just achieving. You've got to really, really push yourself out there. And it's great that that's what you're taking, that same attitude into your personal life and business to succeed. And I honestly wish you every success with it. And hopefully might get myself on one of them trips in the end of the year or the start of next, and when everything comes back to normality, I suppose.
Yeah, absolutely. Thanks, John. I appreciate it.
No problem. So that was James Elwood on the line there for NFL Weekends, just sharing his story about who's inspired him along the way and creating a bespoke opportunity for people to get out and either learn about NFL, fans of the game, to go out and experience the bigger meaning of the game out in America. So thank you very much, James, and everybody else, take care and keep sharing. Thanks now.